In our Shabbos Smiros, we refer to this day, the day of Shabbos, as Me'ein Olam Haba. Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Menucha. And this follows a theme that appears in many places in Chazal, that Shabbos, this seventh day, is a microcosm of the world to come. Familiar with this idea, right? And this makes perfect sense when we think about the Mizmor, which is associated with Shabbos, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which actually, if you look at the content of that Mizmor, it's all about the world to come. But it's not about what we experience on Shabbos, it's about the world to come, because Shabbos is about this idea of being Me'ein, a small experience, a slight window, a small window into the world to come. So what exactly does it mean? What are we trying to say when we say that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba? So one way to think about that is to realize that Olam Hazeh, this world, the corporeal existence that we have, is by definition, it's limited. It's lacking. There's always an end point to something. And so by definition, whenever you have an end point, it means there's something that's beyond. You don't have everything, because everything would go on and on forever. So this world, everything that's physical, so this shtender, it has a beginning point and has an end point. A person's life has a beginning point and an end point. Everything in the world is finite. So being finite, actually, being finite, you could say, is associated with being chaser, lacking. Because there's an end point, which means after that there's something else. But Olam Haba, the world where it's purely spiritual, where it's just the light of Hashem, so that's not limited in any way. There is no chisaron, there's nothing lacking. It is a world of shlemus, of wholeness. So what are we meant to feel on Shabbos? We're meant to feel Me'ein Olam Haba. We're meant to feel an element, a small fragment of that true wholeness. We're meant to feel whole. Now this idea of feeling whole fits with things that we've talked about over the past many weeks, that a person doesn't do malacha because they feel that kol malachto, it's asuya, it's nasa kvar, everything is already done during the week. We feel like we don't need to create more to fill a lack, because we don't have a lack on Shabbos. So many of the Shabbos themes that we've talked about come back to this idea that a person feels shalem. A person is meant, ideally, to feel whole on Shabbos, that there is an element of shlemus. And that's why the idea of shalom is prominent in the experience of Shabbos. There sometimes is a question in halacha of priority. You know, usually in life, it's kind of a childish activity when you ask how to compare two things, what's more valuable than the other. You know, like, why does it have to be a competition? Because when we were growing up, as brothers, my brother and I, we're always competing about everything. So we're always like, you know, which is, but sometimes when you have a conflict, you have to know what takes priority. So if lo aleinu, rachmana litzlan, we can't really imagine such a thing, but there were times when people had such an experience. If a person was so impoverished that they only had 2 pennies to buy either 2 candles for Shabbos or a candle for Chanukah, this is the Gemara Shaila, Shabbos Gimel and Beis, Hai Minai Odif. That's the Gemara Shaila. Not because we care more about one mitzvah than the other mitzvah. We care about all the mitzvahs, but Lamaisa, it's a practical problem. The person can only afford either Shabbos candles or Chanukah candles. So what takes precedence? Shabbos candles. Why? Oh, you would think that it's because it's Tadir, but the Gemara says, I have a factor which would override the Tadir argument. Tadir, the argument that Alan is pointing out, is that Tadir is, it's frequent. So frequent, the Gemara says in Zvachim, Tadir, something which is more frequent. Vishainu Tadir, something which is less frequent. So Tadir Kodim, the more frequent, takes precedence. But the Gemara kind of implies that there is a counterbalance to that in this context, which is that the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah have a supercharged element, a halachic value called Persumei Nisa. Oh, now you're talking a different story. Persumei Nisa. Persumei Nisa, that's very unusual. Ad Kedei Kach, we know that Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, pointed out, Persumei Nisa generates a new kind of chiyuv. And when it comes to a general mitzvah, a person is not obligated to sell their shirt. You give, how much can you afford for a mitzvah? So the Gemara says you pay up to hon rav. So many achronim say that's 10% of the resources that you have. But if a person, God forbid, absolutely cannot afford dalad minim, they can't afford a pair of tefillin, even the most basic, they can't afford. But when it comes to Neres Chanukah, the Gemara says you have to sell the shirt off your back. It's very unusual. That's not the rules of mitzvahs. You don't usually have to sell the shirt off your back to buy a pair of tefillin. But it's because it's Persumei Nisa. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that he says, look carefully, that the Gemara says about the cups that you drink at the Seder. That's to demonstrate Cheres. So the Rav thought that that's also Persumei Nisa, which is why the Gemara says that when it comes to the four cups, a person, God forbid if they were so impoverished, they would have to sell the shirt off their back to drink four cups at the Seder. Rav Soloveitchik expanded that to the concept of Mikra Megillah, because again, Persumei Nisa, Sha'asanisim, you recite the bracha of Sha'asanisim. So now, you're going to tell me that Shabbos candles should be adif because they have the quality of Tadir? But the Gemara says, but Persumei Nisa. So the Gemara says, here's how you're going to stack it up. Persumei Nisa is going to be on one side, but Ner Shabbos is different. Why? Because Ner Shabbos, it's not just a mitzvah midrabanan, it's a mitzvah midrabanan, special rabbinic mitzvah, mishum shalom bayis. So the Gemara concludes, Ner Chanukah, and Ner Shabbos, shalom is adif. So this is a din, but it expresses an idea that when Chazal instituted the takana, the mitzvah midrabanan of Shabbos candles, and that mitzvah is meant to bring shlemus, shalom, wholeness and peace into the home, that's part of the experience of Shabbos. That when a person lights Shabbos candles, they're meant to realize this is bringing shlemus, shalom, peace, harmony into their home. And then that is part and parcel of the experience of Shabbos. So when you light the Shabbos candles, you should feel there's shalom in this house. All right, this is Al-Pi Drush, but it's really interesting. I think this is really interesting. There's a din. You know, the pasuk says, Lo sivaru eish b'chol mosh v'seichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. You're not supposed to kindle a fire in your house on Shabbos. Right? We all know this. It's the Isra of Havara. It's a special identification with one malacha among all 39 malachas. So there's a special din, Lo sivaru eish. So the Gemara has a machlokas. Why is it singled out? So many darshanim over the centuries in Europe, people used to associate, based on Medrash, Lo Sivaru Eish, there shouldn't be burning of Machlokas. There shouldn't be Machlokas on Shabbos. So you notice, the Eish of Machlokas is being, so to speak, contrasted with the Eish of Hadlakas Neiru Shabbos. That's the kind of fire that we should have in our homes, that which is light, which is warm, which is making people feel like they're together. There's Shalom Bayis, not the Eish of Machlokas. This is interesting. But the point that I think is just central here is that Chazal made a specific mitzvah midrabanan to emphasize the fact that on Shabbos there's an inyan of shalom. We should feel at peace with ourselves and with other people. And as Rav Kook points out that when a person feels internally at peace, they can find peace with other people externally. And that when we're in a machlokas with other people externally, it usually reflects a lack of inner peace. There's more to say about that, and it's always more complicated than that. But the idea that Shabbos is associated with shalom, we can agree upon. Is that a safe place to start this discussion? And perhaps that's why, even though growing up in a more Hasidic environment, we always wish people a good Shabbos. But really, probably the best way to wish people Shabbos greeting is That's it. Shabbat Shalom. That's Pashit. Did you ever think about that? Why do we wish people Shabbat Shalom? Because Shabbos and Shalom is one inyan. That's the inyan. So now, with this preamble, we can understand the focus of our discussion today. A few brief thoughts on a poem that I venture to guess almost everyone, if not everyone here, says, which is a big claim, because usually, with the differences of Minhagim, you never know who says what. But I would venture to guess we're going to get 100% hands about the poem that you have in front of you, the paragraph, the beautiful song that we sing on Friday night, and that is Shalom Aleichem. By show of hands, does anyone here not sing Shalom Aleichem? Okay, you shouldn't be embarrassed if you don't, because you're in very good company of people like the Vilna Gaon and Reb Chaim Volozhiner and a few others, because as we will see, not everybody sings Shalom Aleichem. But in our community, I think pretty much everybody sings Shalom Aleichem. And we'll see why there are people who do not sing Shalom Aleichem. But I wonder if this poem, this song, captures this idea. The first thing that you sing when you come home Friday night is Shalom. It's Shalom. It's the greatest gift. Right? That's what the Mishnah says at the end of Uktin. Shalom, that's what we're all looking for. Shabbos brings us Shalom. How old is this poem, this song? When did it appear? So whenever you have a question like this about something which is liturgical, here is a great place to go. There is it's a five-volume set from Yisrachar Yaakovson. I think it was published in the 70s, maybe? We'll take a look. No, 1987. He did an amazing, extraordinary work of going through all the aspects, the parts of davening that we have, the different zmiros that we have, different practices, liturgical things, piyutim, and finding the source for them in scholarly literature, finding the midrashim that are associated with them, the development of them. It's a really good work. If you're ever curious, like, why we do certain things in davening, he's the place to go to. What's the origin of Kaddish? And why do we say certain things on Rosh Chodesh and Yalavit? Like, it's excellent. It's like an encyclopedic work. He quotes a vast, vast number of sources. So in Chelek Dalid, he has a discussion. I'm sorry, this is Chelek Beis. He has a discussion about things that we say on Shabbos, including Friday night. He talks about Shalom Aleichem. So he quotes a siddur, a siddur that I never heard of, called the Tikkunei Shabbos, published in Prague. That this is where this Shalom Aleichem first appeared, in 1641. So on the one hand, it's pretty old, but as liturgical things goes, it's not that old. I mean, it's only, 1641, it's not super ancient, but it's already a long-held practice. But we alluded to the fact before that there's actually a substantial amount of controversy about Shalom Aleichem. It's a big controversy about Shalom Aleichem. You might go places and you will find some controversy about Shalom Aleichem. There is a beautiful essay in this sefer. This sefer is called Hakona Olamo. I received this sefer as a gift from the author, my friend, the distinguished, amazing expositor of Torah, brilliant young Talmud Chacham, and fantastic Magid Shir, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. He's the Rav of the Beis Knesset in North Wardmere. He's the head of the Smicha program at Reitz. So I would say, maybe it's a little precocious for me to say that he's my friend, because he's a big, big Talmud Chacham, an amazing Torah personality. But maybe I could consider him my friend, maybe. But he's certainly a mentor and a teacher of mine. And he's a little bit older than me, and he recently published this work, which when he gave it to me as a gift, I said to him, how is it possible that you have time to publish a sefer like this? He said it was a COVID project. I'm like, do you know what my COVID project was? Like a sign for the downstairs shul that we made for the kids in the basement. That was the extent. Like, do you see this sefer? So it's called Hakona Olam. It's unbelievable sefer. And so he gave it to me recently, so I started going through it because it's all about Shabbos, and I told him that we're learning Shabbos every week. So he has a whole chapter, a whole section in Siman Yud about Shalom Aleichem. So he quotes a lot of the controversy about Shalom Aleichem as it appears in the Sivbina and other places. So you might go somewhere on Friday night where they will not say Shalom Aleichem. So why not? So there are three main reasons why somebody might not sing Shalom Aleichem, or say Shalom Aleichem, depending on their, you know, their vocal situation and how that's going to bring Shalom into their house, or maybe their spouse says to them, you know, do me a favor, just say quietly. So here's the thing. The first problem with Shalom Aleichem is we say Shalom Aleichem Malachei Hashareis. There are also, by the way, different, I noticed, I never knew this until you start doing some research, there are slightly different nuschos of Shalom Aleichem, which I was not aware of, because you grow up with what you say, but there are slightly different nuschos, both in the whole full Shalom Aleichem, and also some have a different nuschok just in the first paragraph. Okay, so we say Shalom Aleichem, Boachem L'Shalom, welcome to the Malachim, fantastic, these Malachi Hashareis, Malachi Elyon, Barchuni L'Shalom, bless me for peace, Malachi HaShalom, Malachi Elyon, Mimelech Malchei Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're all in our mind, we're hearing the voice, we're hearing the sound, we're hearing the tune, but we're not really paying attention to the words. We say to the Malachim, bless us, bless me, a covered Shabbos. And then you're thinking, wait a second. I think I was taught that there is an Ani Mamin, one of the Rambam's fundamentals of faith. The Rambam came up with 13 basic principles of faith. And the Rambam's fifth Ani Mamin is that there is only one address for prayer. Lo levado roi lehispalel, to the Ribbono shel Olam alone it is appropriate to daven. Ve'ein lezuloso roi lehispalel. And we do not pray to anyone or anything else. How did idolatry begin in the first place? The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that people thought, you know, of course there's a God. There's one God. There's only one God. There's Echad Yachad Miyuchad. But they're like, well, God has messengers. God has agents. So God put the sun in the sky, and the sun gives us light, and it allows for photosynthesis, and it makes the plants grow, and it keeps us warm. So the sun, that is an agent of God. So the same way that you say thank you to God, you should also say thank you to the agent of God. And then that thank you became, well, the same way that you should admire and you should give honor to God, well, you should also give honor to the sun. And that gave way to the same way you provide a tribute to God, so you should also provide a tribute to the sun. And that gave way to, well, the sun, which is the source of that energy, we should make sure that we are appeasing that sun and that that sun is the source. And all of a sudden, the Ribbono shel Olam fell out of the picture. This is what the Rambam describes. And now everybody's worshiping all these different things. So it is a very big problem to start worshiping other things, even if they are things that God made, has sent us. So malachim, and there's quite a bit of discussion what you mean when you say malach. Malach means a messenger. So what exactly do we mean when we talk about Malachi Hashareis, Malachi Elyon? That there is a Malach Melitz Echa, that we have Malach and these spiritual entities, these creations. But whatever they are, whether they have physical form or not physical form, Avraham Avinu experienced an encounter with Malachim, Lot encountered Malachim, so they have potentially some, they can take a form of a physical something. You can't daven to a malach. You go to the tzion, the grave of a tzaddik. Now, why do you go to a grave? Because we have a tradition that if a person in their lifetime, they had a body which housed their neshama. So even though the body is put into the earth, into this physical place, and the neshama has gone up to the Ribbono shel Olam, there's some residual connection, some spiritual remnant or imprint of that person's neshama that retains on that, somehow, on that guf. And where the guf is buried, that's where the person somehow, in some way, which I don't understand, if you ask people who are probably super into understanding the secrets of the world, they'll understand, what does that mean? That there's some remnant, there's some imprint of the neshama that's left on that guf, which is buried in this world. So a person goes to that place. So if we go, yeah, usually for a relative, we go to daven for them, that they should have an aliyah for their neshama. People go before Yahrzeit. They go, some people go Tisha B'Av, some people go Elul, right? People go to the Beis HaKvaros. But people go to a tzaddik. Why? Because the Gemara says in Brachos that the impact, the influence of a tzaddik of that special super neshama that comes into the world, that's even greater after the person leaves the world. The influence of the tzaddik. So when you go to the tzion of a tzaddik, do you daven, do you pray to that tzaddik? No! You don't ask the tzaddik to do something for you. That's against what the Rambam is telling us. Ein lezuras lezulaso roi leespalo. So they quote from Reb Chaim Volozhin and from the Vilna Gaon that to say Baruchuni l'shalom, that's outrageous. What does that mean, Baruchuni l'shalom? So this is the first issue that people have with Shalom Aleichem. That's Aleph. Second issue that you have with Shalom Aleichem. Take a look on your page. You have the Shalom Aleichem paragraph in front of you, right? Oh, really? What am I missing? Why? That's it! Why are they leaving? They just got there! So many, many say only three pieces, right? You notice it now. There are only three stanzas of Shalom Aleichem here, because people say, why is saying Tzeichon L'Shalom? It's so interesting. This debate about the Nusach of Shalom Aleichem, it goes back hundreds and hundreds of years to the 18th century on the commentaries on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, Nor Chaim and Simon Reish Samach Beis, where it says that a person before Shabbos should make sure that everything is set. Not to come home from shul and then start cleaning up the house, then start setting the table. Oh, you're nodding. You right? There's no good. No. Must be when?
Before
Thursday night. Before you do Thursday night already, Mrs. Greenfield? Halavai, you're saying. But it's before Shabbos. Not the din. It's the din of the Shulchan Aruch. You should have to make sure that you make your bed before Shabbos, that you set up the Shabbos candles before Shabbos, obviously because they're muktzah on Shabbos, that you should set the table. Everything should be done before Shabbos. So when a person comes home, the Shabbos table is ready. So in that context, the commentaries on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch are dealing with this issue about, we know people say Shalom Aleichem. Wait a second. Why are you throwing out the Malachim if they just got there? That's issue number two. And then issue number three is the interesting nusach here. What does it mean on the second line? And I saw Rav Schechter quotes from Shalita, quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichut Tzadu Lebracha, who had this problem. Why does it say, Mi melech malchei hamlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shalom aleichem malachei hashareis, malachei elyon. You should have, or you have, or it's on to you is peace, the angels of service, the malachei elyon. You could have said, the malachei elyon, the angels of elyon, the high, melech malchei hamlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they didn't understand, some people don't understand why you say mi melech. So just to put these three elements at rest, to understand why it is that everyone in this room raised their hand, they say shalom aleichem. Does anybody here not say tzeischem l'shalom? Because there's some people who don't do that.
Alfred says shivtachem l'shalom.
That's, so Edut HaMizrach, they have slightly different nusach. Exactly. So the first element is that we are not davening to the malachim. The concept of bracha, which we find already in the Chumash, is that a person can somehow, the Rebbe Shem gave us the capacity, can endow the spirit, the energy of the Ribbono Shel Olam on another person as a conduit. So exactly, Birchas Kohanim. What does it say? Kol Sivarchu Es B'nei Yisrael. So how are the Kohanim blessing the Jewish people? We're not saying that we are the source of that Shefa. We're just the Tzinor. We're just the pipe. So by saying these words and focusing our spiritual attention on someone, so then we're asking, so to speak, it's slightly difference between a tefillah, where we're just asking Hashem on someone's behalf, and that becomes kind of strengthened when you become in close proximity to someone. I didn't write this down, but I think years ago, Rav Schechter explained this once, to explain the difference between a bracha and a tefillah, that when Yaakov went to bless the children, he said, come close to him. You know, many people have the practice on Friday night that they bless their children. So the idea of bracha is that you become a conduit, you're bringing Hashem's blessing into the world, but you're doing it in a very concentrated way. And so that concentration is heightened with proximity. So what did Yaakov say? He says, I'm going to bless the children. So he said, come close. Hey, Yosef, come close. And then when it came to the grandchildren, he brought them even closer. Yisimcha l'kim. So he put his hands on their heads. So somehow the Rebbe Shalom is introducing into the world the koach. I guess it's like an analogy would be like in the cartoons, like one of those shrink rays, like one of those, like, you know, where you take a lot of diffuse energy and you put it into a very focused way that it has a lot of strength to it, like a ray. So a bracha is, we're taking the Rebbe Shalom's koach that he gave to us to bring the presence of Hashem into the world, and you focus it in a very narrow and intense way, which relates to proximity. So you bring that person close. So you could go to a tzaddik, for that tzaddik to daven for you for something, to ask the Rebbe Shalom for something on your behalf, or you could go to that tzaddik for a bracha. So you want to be in close proximity so that you can feel that connection that strengthens the energy that's coming through, kiviyachol, so to speak, from Hashem, who is the source of all the energy, into the world. When we go to the tzion of a tzaddik, we ask that tzaddik, we say, you, this neshama of this holy tzaddik, you should please go to the Rebbe Shalom, ask the Rebbe Shalom on our behalf to bring the energy of shalom, of refuah, of Yeshua, whatever that is, into the world. We're not davening to the tzaddik. We're not saying that the tzaddik has any abilities inherently other than the koach to be a mashpia of the Rebbe Shalom's energy into the world. And that's what we're saying with the malachim, with Baruchunu L'Shalom, as we'll see in a little bit from the source. We're saying to the malachim, you should be a conduit for us. You should bless us. Now, do you have any authority to bless on your own? Oh, no, of course, you're just bishlichu social makom. But we're asking, and this sheds light on the controversy. Some of you know, in the Yom HaRoim, there's a little bit of a controversy about a particular passage. It's called Machnise Rachmim. How does it go? Machnise Rachmim, hachnisu, you should bring up, you, the angels, should bring up our tefillos. So it's like, wait a second, some people are very opposed to Machnise Rachmim. They say, what are you asking the angels for? So the answer might be, you're not asking the angels for anything other than to be your assistant, to encourage your tefillos to reach their destination. Not that you need that. You can dive into the Boshom, you don't need any angels. But it happens to be that to strengthen, to enable that energy, that connection to the Rebbe Shalom, as it relates to your tefillos. So this is one nekuda. So for the people who don't say Shalom Aleichem, they say, I don't want to say Baruchunu L'Shalom. I'm not asking the Malachim for anything. I only ask the Rebbe Shalom for things. And the counter argument to that is, it's true, we don't ask anybody else except for the Rebbe Shalom, but the Rebbe Shalom did introduce that there are agents, the word malach means an agent. There are agents of bracha that we're asking this angel, these angels, to give us that bracha of shalom from Hashem. That's Aleph. What about Tzeischem L'Shalom? Why are you telling? So in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, there's a super commentary on the Magen Avram called the Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel, in Simin Reish Samach Beis, he says, it's just saying, when you have, you know, like it says in the Pasuk, Baruch Atah B'Vavecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeischecha. When you have someone who comes, we say, Bruchim Haboim V'Tzeischem L'Shalom. You know, thank you, and you're not leaving now. We're not asking them to leave, but, you know, whenever you go. And that's similar in the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva says, we don't know when these angels are leaving. So we tell them, thank you for coming, and goodbye. What about Melech and Mi Melech? If you understand, like we were saying before, that it's about asking the angels to bring us the brachos from Hashem, so maybe this is the way to read Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hashareis, Malachi Elyon. You are the Malachi Hashareis, the angels of service, these elevated angels who are bringing the Shalom, who have Shalom. Where does the Shalom come from? Mi Melech Malachi Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The peace that you have, the shalom that you have, is Mi Melech. That the Mi Melech is modifying the shalom. It's not modifying the Elyon. Right? The other way to read it is Malachi Elyon, the Malachim of the Elyon, the highest one, who is Malchei Mahamelech Malchei Amlachim, God. But the other way is to say is Shalom Aleichem, you should have peace. You have the peace, Malachi Shareis. Where's that peace come from? Where are you blessing us with peace from? Me, Melech Malchem Lachem. From Hashem, who is the king. So there are definitely issues with this. So you will find there are people who are going to do no Shalom Aleichem, they're going to do no Tzeis from the Shalom, and they're going to do Melech instead of Mi Melech. But there are very good arguments not to change the Nusach and to keep it as it is. Well, where does this all come from? Where do we get this whole idea that there are Malachim that are coming to us on Friday night? So turn over the page. And here you have a magnificent Gemara in Shabbos and Kufya Testament Beis in Perikol Kisvei, where the Gemara tells us this beautiful story. And this is the image that we are meant to conjure up with Shalom Aleichem. So there are two stories. The first one appears, you see the bracket where the arrow is? Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Mar Ukva. Kol HaMispalel Be'erev Shabbos. Anybody who davens Friday night, V'omer Vayechulu, and they recite, a person recites Vayechulu, which we say in davening, Shnei Malachei Hashares HaMalavin Lo La'odam Menichin Yedeim Al Roshu V'omrim Lo V'sor Avonecha V'chatosecha Tichupar. A person says Vayechulu to Malachei Hashares, who are HaMalavim, that they are accompanying him, because we see that there are Malachei Hashares that accompany us, and there's a lot of interesting discussion. There are Malachim that always accompany us. Maybe these are special Shabbos Malachim. Maybe when we say Tzeischem L'Shalom, we're actually saying Tzeischem L'Shalom to the weekday Malachim, and not to the Shabbos Malachim. The Shabbos Malachim come, the Tzeischem L'Shalom is for the weekday guys, maybe. But what do? They put their hands on your head when you say Vayechulu, and they bless you.
Why do you say it in unison? That's one thing you say all
together. What, the Vayechulu?
Yeah.
So Vayechulu, this gets to this point. Why do people, so the question was, why? What's so special about Vayechulu? And why do we say it as a group? And there's actually a practice. Let's say, sometimes you're diving in a place, and your Shmon Esrei goes longer than the Chazan, and you didn't get a chance to say Vayechulu with everyone. So what you're actually supposed to do is you're supposed to go to a guy next to you and say Vayechulu with them. Even if they said Vayechulu once, they should say it again. Why? Because Vayechulu is referred to as testimony. It's testimony that the Ribbono Shel'olam created the heavens and the earth. And therefore, it's this idea that you're giving testimony, which means you give it with another person. Now, this is obviously not real testimony. There's no Beis Din, and you don't give testimony at night, but it's meant to create a certain tzura of seriousness, of realization that you are establishing the reality in this world. You're telling everyone, we are announcing that there's one Borei Olam. And that's why, if you look here in the Maharsha says that the reason why the Malachi Hasharis, they give you this special bracha, is because you are like a shutuf in Maisa Bereishis. You are a partner with God, because it's like you're creating the world by saying Vayechulu Hashemayim Varetz V'chol Tzvam. That's the end of the Bria. The whole capstone, the coda of the Bria, you're saying it. That's the kiyum of the Bria, the world, so to speak. By being Shomer Shabbos, we are saying that there is one creator of the whole world. And he goes on to explain further why it is that it's Mechilas Avonos, because you're elevated up to a spiritual state. It's like almost like we become, obviously not really, but like we become partners with Hashem. So when we say that the Baruch Hashem created the whole world, it's like us bringing that reality to life. So that's why it's such a big deal. That's why the Gemara says, Dafka Vayechulu, because you are acknowledging verbally, you're saying to the world, this whole world, it comes from one creation. And that's why it's Eidus, that's why it said standing up, that's why it said as a group. So the Malachim, they put their hands on your head and they give you a bracha. That's what it says. Menichin Yedeim Al Rosho. If you understand why it is that you put your hands on your children's head when you give them a bracha Friday night, it's like this Gemara. Oh, that's Aleph. Here we go. Now, and this is going to bring us a little closer to home. Tanya. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shnei Malachei Hashares Malavin Lo La'odam Be'erev Shabbos. There are two Malachei Hashares that accompany a person on Erev Shabbos, Mi Beis HaKnesses LeBeiso, from Shul to their home. Echad Tov VeEchad Ra. One Malach is a Malach Tov, and one Malach is a Malach Ra. Whatever that means, that there's such a thing as a Malach Ra.
That
That's a good question. Like, what does it mean that there's such a thing as a Malach Ra? So something, whatever that means, on some level, that there's such a thing as a Malach Ra. So these two Malachim accompany us when we go home. When a person comes to their house, and the Malach sees there is a lit candle, Vishulchan Aruch, and a set table, Umitaso Mutsas, and the bed is made. And if you think about it, in antiquity, people lived in one-room houses. So look at the image of the Gemara, that you open the door, and what do you see? You see a place which is set properly. You see a bed, you see a table, you see a candle, it's all there. Now they would have to go upstairs, they would have to see what's going on downstairs, but in those days, there was no split levels, let's just say, right? So the Malach comes out, comes home, these two Malachim that accompany us, the Malachim look, and they see, what does the house look like? Omer, what happens? Malach tov Omer, yi ratzon, it should be, shetehei l'shabbos acheres kach. It should be another week like this. I'm going to read the next line of the Gemara, which is very sad. And sometimes it happens like this. The Rebbe Shlom should help us that we should avoid such a thing. But this is what the Gemara says. The imlav, but if it's not, malach ra omer, yi ratzon shetel shabbos acheres kach. If it doesn't look like that, so then it's interesting that some of the achronim, so on some of the svarim, they say that if, unfortunately, there's a malchalokas in the house at that time, when Shabbos enters, they shouldn't say the pasuk, they shouldn't say the phrase, excuse me, tzeischem l'shalom malachei shalom. The malachim should stay and try to help them work it out. There's actually such a minig. And this idea that it's not so clear whether when Shabbos enters there's going to be peace in the home, there's going to be shalom, or there's going to be chaos, is real. It's real. And the Gemara has, earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara has a lot of discussions about this, about how the Malach HaMavis, the Satan, the Samach Mem, the angel that makes us crazy, is on full tilt Erev Shabbos in the house. It's a time of tremendous stress. People are often, you don't want to describe what's going on over there. Sometimes it could be very unpleasant. And so that's why the Gemara says, emphasizes that a person, when they're giving direction in their house on Friday, they have to say it's supposed to be benichusa, calmly, because it's very easy to have shouting and screaming and yelling. I don't want to reflect on any personal experiences of such things, but let's just say many of us can relate to this inyan. But what's the point? The point is, okay, maybe Erev Shabbos was insanity, and maybe we're not on a level of Hillel, and maybe when we're shaving and jumping out of the shower, and this kid is like, and this person is calling, and it's mayhem, utter chaos. But when you come home from shul, once you light the Shabbos candles, everything, it should be, we should transition to the mode of Shabbos. And what happens when we do that? I skipped one line. Not only do you get the bracha from the Malach Tov, when the house is in order, and everybody's like, okay, we took a breath, we're going to let go of all the insanity of the week, of the Erev Shabbos screaming, of the craziness of the cholent pot that we forgot to turn on, that maybe happened in our house a couple of weeks ago, like all that problems, we let go of all that. Guess what happens? The Malach Tov says, Yiratzon Shetel Shabbos Acheres Umalach Ra Ona Omein. The Malach Ra has to say, okay, maskim. Maskim. Malach Ra Ona Amen. So everyone, all the Achronim quote that this Gemara is the source for the recitation of Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem Malachei Asharis. Who are we welcoming? These two Shabbos Malachim. They're coming home with us Friday night. They walk in the door. We say Shalom Aleichem. Yeah, so the question was the Malach Ra. So the word Ra really means fragmented. Even the word Rea, a friend, is meant to be a fragment of myself. So, like Troaim b'shevet barzel, the pasuk says in Tehillim, means to shatter something. So, trua is a fragmented sound. So that obviously, you know, has a lot to say about what does it mean that there's a malach ra? What does it mean that we feel, experience ra? Is ra real or is just ra perceived, that there is this break, there is this fragmentation between the Ribbono Shel Olam and what we're perceiving? So the malach ra, it's going to fit somewhere into that. But I want to conclude with one ha'ara on this bracha. I thought it was a little peculiar, because until now we said, we say Shalom Aleichem, now we understand why we say Shalom Aleichem, because these malachim are coming with us Friday night. But isn't that a funny bracha? Why is it that the malachim bless us, that it should be like this next Shabbos? Like, I don't know, what would you have expected that the malachim are going to bless us with on Friday night when we come to our house and everything is set, everything is nice? Like, why are we already talking about next week? Come on, can't we just live right now? Finally, we have a Shabbos where no one's yelling, no one's kicking under the table, no one's screaming, no one's fighting. So why are we talking about next week already? So I was thinking about this. I wasn't sure. So I came across an answer in a sefer that I never saw before when I was like searching around. You never know what you find. There's a sefer called Torah Satur from Rav Moshe Steinberg. He was a Rav in Israel in the last century. He had a really interesting ha'ara. He says like this, beautiful. You ready? You hear the question why it's weird he's talking about next week before this week? Like, so he has a really awesome ha'ara. There are two opinions in the Medrash. Two opinions in the Medrash in the Gemara, Bavli, Yerushalmi. You know this idea that if the Jewish people would observe Shabbos, Ilmole Sharmo Yisrael, Shtei Shabbosos, Miyad Hayu Nigolim. We would have the full redemption if we would observe two Shabbos. So there's also an opinion in the Medrash that if we would just observe one Shabbos, so is it one Shabbos or two Shabbosos? So he says the pshat is that when the malachim come, they see that the house is so beautiful and that everybody is at peace and no one's yelling at each other and that we're able to put away all the squabbles of the week and just be b'shalom. He says, Yihiratzon, I'm blessing all of you that you should have next Shabbos the same and therefore we'll have the geula. So he uses that to resolve. What does it mean if you were Shomer one Shabbos perfectly, you're going to get the Geula? I thought it was two. So he says, no, it's true. You need two to be Shomer Shabbos perfectly, and then you're going to get the Geula. But if you did the first one, you're going to get the Bracha, you'll get the second one. So that's why we're talking about the second one. So I thought that was very beautiful. But then I was thinking, and you'll tell me what you think about this, is that the reason why we welcome the Malachim and we tell them to bless us, and that's beautiful. But maybe the pshat is that if we have sufficiently prepared ourselves for Shabbos to really be in the matzav, in the status, in the state of shlemus, of wholeness, then we don't need the bracha of the malachim for this Shabbos. We've arrived. We have shlemus, we have shalom. If the malach comes and sees that we have a bracha of shalom, there's nothing to add now. Right? If a person has shalom, they have everything. There's no better bracha. There's no kli that's machzik bracha. There's no greater gift than the gift of shalom. So how do you end Shimon Esrei? Sim shalom. How do we end all of Shas and Mishnayos? Shalom, the bracha of shalom. What's the blessing which is promised to the tzaddikim la'asid lavo? Shalom. What's Shabbos? Me'ein olam haba is shalom. So if a person feels that kol malachto asuya, so then the balachim, they don't need to bless us with shalom because we already have shalom. So what are they telling us? That it should extend to next week. So there's a beautiful vart, and with this we'll close, from the Heilige Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Radomsk. The Radomsk in the Tfer Shlomo. He says, what does it mean that we have these malachim on Friday night? These malachim that come, and some of us, like in our house, we say the Ribon Kol HaOlamim afterwards. A little tefillah that we should have all the brachos that we're talking about. Now, I will admit that even though growing up, we used to say it right after Shalom Aleichem, which is when it's supposed to be said. But for Shalom bias purposes, we have in our current house moved that Ribon Kol HaOlamim till after Kiddush and Hamotzi, so that some people who never grew up with that don't have to wait 10 minutes until I finish mumbling all of the Rivon Kol HaOlamim. But in that context, there's a lot of zmiros and bakashas and things that people say Friday night. So the Tiferet Shlomo, the Radomsker, is talking about some of these zmiros, and he has an amazing pshat. He says that a whole week we're doing things. Sheishis me'amasa, we're doing stuff. We're doing mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, gemilas chasadim, Talmud Torah. He says a beautiful word. He says the whole week, imagine this, a beautiful image. He says all the things that we did during the week, all the good things, he says those are, they are sheishis me'amasa, leis lahon gadfin. They don't have wings. The things that we did during the weeks, they don't have wings. Lios porachas lamaila, to be elevated, to fly up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ad bo yom haShabbos, until Shabbos comes. And then bo lahem chiyos me'olam ha'elyon, bevechinas neshama yaseira. Then we are, we have the neshima, the neshama yaseira, the extra breath of spirituality of Ruchnias on Shabbos. He says that neshama yaseira gives all the things that we did the whole week, it gives them wings. Vehem nikroim malachim. And he says that's what is said in Shalom Aleichem and Boachem L'Shalom, ki b'Shabbos nasav nigmar pu'uloso lios nasav mikol mitzvah v'ratzon atov malach kayom. What does it mean that God did the whole work over the whole week and then he rested, he completed everything with the menucha of Shabbos? What did we do a whole week? We davened in shul, we gave tzedakah, we helped people, we reached out, we did all these ma'asim during the week, and then vayichulu on Friday night, we and now have that neshama yaseira in all of our, all of the hachanas that we did for Shabbos, all the week, the sheishis me'amase, we have wings to fly. That's the neshama yaseira. So he says, when you say shalom aleichem, malachei hasharis, you're greeting all of the ma'asim tovim, all the hachanas you made for Shabbos. That's what it means. Shalom aleichem, malachei hasharis. It's your malachim. How beautiful is that? So memela, now I understand why. What are they going to bless you with that it should be next week just like this? Right now, you don't need any more brachos. The brachos are what you have. It's davka what you have. All the malachim that you created the whole week, the sheishis me'amaisa, the fact that you're living in the Shabbos experience of shlemus, of Shabbat shalom, that wholeness, that's everything. And you're feeling like all the mitzvahs, everything that you did, it now has wings. It's the neshama yisera. So maybe that's why the malachim say, enjoy what you have. Hopefully next week will be the same. So obviously, shalom is something that we need to work on, and it's difficult. And it's sometimes it's fraught. Sometimes it's elusive. But to the extent that we possibly can, to find that inner shalom, to realize that kol malachteinu nasis, that the malachim that are coming to our house are looking to us to create that shalom. They're just going to bless us for the coming week, but it's up to us to create the Ner Dolok, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mita Mutzas, to feel that sense of shlemus, to create that Me'ein Olam Haba and the Olam Hazeh, and through that, Halavai will be Zocha to the Bracha for the Rebbe Shalom that is given to us from the Malachim, or through the Malachim, every Friday night when we come home to sing Shalom Aleichem.